So let us go back in time and find out how the enterprise solutions has progressed. Okay, enterprise solutions today is, like we had discussed earlier, is entirely different from what they had foreseen, what exactly was there earlier, and what actually we have reached today. So if we see, you may be feeling that why we are having wars, why we are having all this particular thing. But the entire invention starts only with a war, and there only the technology starts progressing. That is a, what you call it as, it is a bad side effect of a war, or it is a good side effect of a war. Okay, but wars has ensured that we progress, we invent. The initial computers were built for providing scientific solution during war. Okay, so the primarily they doesn't bother about the human people who are going to use this particular thing, but they started focusing on how I'll win a war. And the technology was subsequently adopted for business computing. So if technology was invented for a war and adopted for business computing. So some of the examples which we can see are IBM, Data General, Burroughs, Sperry Univac, and several other computer manufacturers started creating their own business computers with proprietary operating system. So you will be having, each and every person will be having a separate operating system. You cannot, the person who is working on a specific operating system cannot work in another operating system. That was the earlier cases that was happening. So tools are also, for developing something in this particular thing, tools will be different. Like if you can see, mainframe systems is one example which you can have, which will be having a different operating system, and it will not be, you cannot be, so it will be like a different world altogether. Interfacing this particular solution with other solutions will be entirely different and difficult. And applications built over these development tools, you cannot have this development tool, I'm doing some application here, I cannot use this particular same development tool to some other application. You have to build the entire thing once again. So that is one way of looking at the entire thing. The customer cannot easily move from this particular solution to some other solution. At the same time, in the today's innovation, the entire thing has happened. If you're not having a scalability, if you're not having that kind of a portability, adaptability to some other tool, your solution may not be selling today. They were in the initial days, mid-range computers, and then the mainframes came. Businesses built custom-developed applications tailored to suit their business requirements. So product will be small, and on the top of the product they will be doing lot of customization to ensure that their business requirements are taken into consideration at the time of deployment of the solution. The first package software came in the later half of the 1960s and developed into MRPs and MRP2, and subsequently into ERPs. So earlier 1960s we started, the entire story started in 1960s. And MRPs were started, MRP2 has been started, and finally MRP has started as an ERP. The primary functions delivered by these software products were for the manufacturing organization and some financial accounting. So initially they were purely for manufacturing organizations. How will be ensure that my team is working properly, my team is productive enough, and they are ensuring that the inventory is matching, the supply is managing with the requirement that is going to be there in the outside world. So the stock management, the entire thing start with just managing, maintaining the stock, and how I'm going to maintain, how ensure that this is the adequate I'm going to have. Like we are talking about the war cases, when you are going to have a war, you should ensure that you are having adequate stock in your hand before proceeding further with the war. So this is where the invention started, and then slowly it progressed to the financial accounting also. Okay, when we are talking about financial accounting, we started bothering about how much I'm going to get, how much I'm going to give. So that is where the financial accounting started, and it started progressing. And today, entire banking, all banks, irrespective of the size, has been computerized and integrated, networked with all the other banks also, using UPI or ATM or internet banking. Today, they are pushed into current between multiple banks with the help of regulators. So they use core banking applications. Some of the examples are of core banking solutions are Infosys, Finacle, Finastra, FlexCube, and banks from TCS. So these are the multiple core banking applications that are there, which is being widely used across the entire world, and in more specifically in India, most of the banks are using Finacle. And again, when you talk about requirement, the requirement for retail banking is entirely different from corporate banking. To give a glimpse of what exactly is retail and corporate banking, when individual people use, that becomes a retail banking. When multiple corporates use, it becomes corporate banking. So you cannot have the same application, same enterprise solution for retail as well as corporate. So based on this particular need, the application also has progressed. Airline industry had its most popular product on Sperry UniVac systems, that is the earlier scenario. Today, that also has progress and they are also using multiple systems today. These systems were entirely on green screens prior to the advent of GUI. So earlier, if you see in the earlier cases, in fact, in India, you can say around 2000, before 2000 itself, Y2K cases, you'll have green screens or you can say blue screens where users input the thing in without any GUI. Okay, you'll be having, the entire thing will be like a cursor and dots will be there to design the entire screen to find out the differentiation between one tab and other tab. That was the earlier case. Today, what has happened is that with the advent of the GUI, with the new progress that are happening, JavaScript, Java, or you will have multiple APIs that are there in place. Today, the world is GUI, okay, graphical user interface. So using this particular thing, users are in a position to take a decision based on the screen and proceed further with transaction in the screen itself by seeing the entire thing, graphical input, and user can see the graphical thing with all the kind of animations in the screen. The late 1980s. So from 1960s, we are progressing to 1980s, where we saw the enterprise solutions moving to open architecture as promoted by OSI, Open System Interface. So what will happen is that today, people started thinking of why I should be using this specific application only and why not some other application? Why I should not interface this particular thing with some other solution? So people started moving to open architecture where there will be a flexibility for the enterprise to take a decision and move forward. So say I'm going to invest so much money on this particular system and I'm not in the position to find out, I'm not in the position to proceed further with the application. This is not shooting my requirement or my growth plan. So as an enterprise, I should have the flexibility of moving from this solution to some other solution. So with the invent of open architecture, it started proceeding further as promoted by OSI, Open System Interface, to support desktops and multiple servers across. So what was started happening is that multiple solutions that are there, and this resulted in interface that are getting developed. The dependence on proprietary and stovepipe seduced systems got reduced. So like we are discussing, IBM was having its own operating system, some other solution was having its own operating system, own solution, own development tool. This started reducing and people started moving, having multiple development tools in their hand. The use of homogeneous technology moved to heterogeneous business computing systems. So enterprise started moving globally now. Establishing compatibility of data between two systems was always a challenge. So like you are having, one specific application says that, boss, I'm compatible with JSP. I'm not compatible with JavaScript, or I'm not compatible with Java. This was becoming a challenge, and people and enterprises and software solutions started developing towards this particular thing. They were addressed by the specifications created by independent bodies, represented by different manufacturers under the umbrella of International ISO Commission for Standards. So ISO standards started coming into picture. And today, if you see, there are multiple ISO standard certifications that are there. See, 27001, 27002. Each and every thing started happening in ISO, and people started saying ISO certified. And there are multiple messaging standards also coming into picture. Say ISO 8583. This is being commonly used for ATM transactions. So, like this particular thing, there are multiple ISO standards that are coming to picture. Say SWIFT, that is going to have a different standard, ISO standard. So each and every message inside the ISO also was starting having a different standard. The necessary internal modification within the development tools were made to ensure that interoperability will not be a challenge. The database structuring and interfaces were defined. So enterprise started progressing, software solutions started defining themselves and started progressing. This helped the subsequent interfaces to work seamlessly, ensure that interfaces are happening, and this thus evolved the system, open system architecture. So open system orchestrators started evolving and were interface started happening, multiple organizations came into picture, multiple enterprises started coming into picture, multiple software developments started happening, new companies, new software companies started emerging. When the software performance is slow due to larger volume or complex processing algorithms, an enterprise could switch over from system with low availability to the one with higher availability. So enterprise started progressing, like we were defining, software industry started progressing, network started progressing, and data centers started come into picture, and availability of the solution became the important thing for any enterprise. The business-centric or organization-centric computer was working successfully. Now, instead of a location-based system, people started working on the business-centric or organization-centric. So people started focusing from location to the entire world. Now world started becoming smaller and world started interfacing with multiple people. So when business started or enterprise started moving towards business centric and organization centric systems, then what happens is that the next era started progressing. The new era came into picture, where the era brought the management information systems and executive information system came into picture, where the management wants to look at what exactly is the progress that has happened in each of the departments that has happened, or each business that has happened. So this brought in a new challenge, a new issue. So executive management and operation management discovered another new issue, which we are talking about now. The statements and reports generated by different departments within the enterprise were different. So how you'll be in a position to take, so the MIS or the EAS that is getting created has to be customized for each of the departments. Say, for example, you are talking about a stock, or when you're talking about procurement, these reports cannot be same, or the financial statements that cannot be same with what you are going to have for stock or for your procurement. So each or one of them was correct with respect of to their area of working. So what happens is that, so financial statement requires a different statement format, and procurement wants a different format. For stock, for inventory, they require a different format. The inventory from material planning department never matched that from stores, purchase, finance, and sales. So there was some chaos that has happened in the beginning. Order booked is not money collected. Goods dispatched are not necessarily reorder quantity or goods returned or paid for. So the sales department was having a different paper. They are a different report, and procurement was having different report. Inventory was having different report. Financial was having different report. The order raised by the purchase department is not goods in stock for sales and inventory, etc. In order to have currency of information at each of these functional areas, the use of spreadsheet, word processor, and database became common within each department. So people started tallying the entire thing from fetching the query from database, taking this to Excel, compare between each multiple functional areas, and spreadsheet started getting used, word processor started getting used. This led to the need for systematic end-user computing. And each person, when you are doing a spreadsheet, he is having a different value, which is not matching with some other person. So there is a need that is progress, that need request started becoming demand that started coming for systematic end-user computing. So the advent of internet led to net-centric computing, which provided high availability of system across the enterprise. So the next era started, the next invention started, where they started ensuring that we are having net-centric data that is getting computed, finding out where exactly is the difference, doing auto-reconciliation of multiple data that we are having. The volume of data crunching became larger. So this resulted in becoming more and bigger, the data we are going to have bigger and bigger, and resulted in the business systems becoming more complex at both organization-centric, managed by the IS department, and end-user computing supported by the IT department. So what happened is that it became more complex, which resulted in becoming more organization-centric, and the IT department started becoming bigger at this particular point of time. The turn of century, along with Y2K fix, brought in the ERP such as SAP and Oracle. So next, we are progressing towards the Y2K. Most of the people might be aware of what is Y2K, so I'm not going towards that. So in year 2000, along with the fix that we are having for year 2000, that became the new century started becoming, new era started happening, where multiple ERPs came into picture, and SAP and Oracle are some of the examples of ERPs. And let us define what actually is an ERP now. They are software systems for business management that comprise of integrated modules supporting functional areas such as planning, manufacturing, sales, marketing, distribution, accounting, financial accounting, human resource management, project management, inventory management, service and maintenance, transportation. All this together, all softwares together, they can be multiple softwares also, together becomes comprises an ERP. The current ERPs incorporate SOA and middleware, that architectures which can integrate with the company's multitude legacy applications, e-business and self-service delivery channels. So today the architecture has become so quick, so fast, so so invented that the entire thing will be the entire architecture will be covered in a single ERP. ERPs in their middle initial avatar mainly targeted the manufacturing industry because they grew out of MRPs. But however, with the dot-com and boom of the internet, enterprise solutions that encompassed multiple packaged products, custom-built city systems, integrated the three-tier architecture within and riding on LAN, WAN networks across continents truly opened up the business to the world. So with the advent of internet and dot-com boom, the entire thing has changed, and things are started happening through internet, and earlier it was through LAN WAN era, before that it was desktop era. From the LAN WAN era it came, and then it became the internet era where people started integrating with the internet itself. So let us see what are the concepts of enterprise solutions. Enterprise solutions have progressed much since first, like we already discussed, it has progressed from ERP systems which are earlier, and today they are well architected and integrated systems for various software. So one software, one specific interface can have multiple softwares, multiple middlewares may be there, multiple interfaces may be there, multiple servers also may be there. There could be multiple presentation layers, and this each presentation layer can be integrated with some other solution, some other, so that the user will not feel that he is working on different solutions. For the user, he'll be thinking that he is working on one specific solution, but he may be working on two different solutions. So presentation layer has so become so important and so easy for the user to proceed further. He will not feel that he is having multiple solutions in his hand. That work over seamless networks with data centers and disaster recovery and security systems. So today it has become like data become very important, and data has to be maintained properly. So disaster recovery and system security systems started emerging, and each of the enterprise was having a different data center and disaster recovery center, shortly called as DR systems, and security systems. With the advent of internet, what has happened is that the security started, there are leakages of security has happened. So security system also started emerging, and today each and every every year the security also is getting progress. There will be virus scanners that will be implemented, the CISOs that are becoming important, and the application security has to be passed before deploying any application in the solution, in the system, in the enterprise. In this section, we will present to you a view of some typical enterprise solutions, which will set the picture for you to understand the details covered in subsequent chapters. So now let us start focusing on some of the enterprise solutions that are there typically today in the world, and how we started progressing, and that things we will look at the specific chapters. Enterprise solutions deal with the problem of providing information to clients both externally and internally. Like we are just mentioning, your client doesn't mean that you are having some 10 employees, doesn't mean that you are having only 10 clients. You may be having a person who is externally or connecting to your system. It deals with programming and databases. So each may be having a different database, each may be having a different programming technology. The main problem being how to most efficiently get our data accessible to those who we want to access it. So how we are going to ensure that the person who is wanted to access particular thing is only person who is connecting to this particular thing. That thing started becoming important, and that becomes an invention of security policies, and all this started coming into picture. So your architecture also started defining based on who is going to connect and for what purpose he is going to connect. The solutions have the following characters and more. Well-architected systems that accommodate business and technology change and challenges, and integration with other newer systems, internal and external. So integration become important. internal and external clients become important. People are not ready to walk into the branch for doing a transaction. They want to do it themselves. So do it yourself started coming picture. In which case, what will happen is that people started doing new systems, started happening, and interface started progressing. And when you are talking about external people, each person's requirement may be different. He wants to see the solution in a different way. So end user customization started coming to picture, and people from the outside started in customizing his solution based on his requirement, based on his desktop requirement. The solutions have the following characteristics and more. Security, which became, like we said, you have to ensure that you're secure, your system is secure. Security, ability to ensure information is not being stolen by those we don't want to have access to it. So if consider a place where one bank internet banking is exposed to some other bank internet banking, he will start doing the transaction, and some other issues in, he'll start withdrawing from your account. Security became important. Scalability, how you are going to ensure that the future transactions are going to be handled in the same solution. The how your requirements, new requirements are going to be handled in the new solution. Increasing client, how it is going to accommodate. These particular things started coming to picture. Cost should be easy to program. Okay, ensure that it is lesser the cost. Management, so that your it should be easy. Development should happen quick. Development should happen by a smaller vendors also. That became important. Management should provide ability to manage the implementation, including version control software and software that helps manage team effort with regard to providing the solution. Here again becomes how you are going to handle the project. The project management softwares came into picture. The solutions have the following characteristics and more. Portable, should be able to accommodate changes in technology, like earlier you are having a non-internet and location-based system. From that we started progressing, and today we are talking about internet-based technology. Tomorrow it may become some other technology. So it should be in your solution, whatever you're developing, should be portable. Consider the place where we started in the 1780s, where it is operating system specific and organization and software vendor specific. Today we are talking about portable. You should be in a position to move from one technology to other technology, which includes your communication technology plus the programming technology. Integration with other platforms or business solutions. Transaction management, not just for financial transactions, but for communications between various objects and methods on various platforms. So let me give an example here on this particular thing. When I was discussing about a requirement in a specific bank, they were asking that how I'll be in the position to manage my water supplier using this particular solution. Today, people start asking such requirements also. Demand has increased from the end users. Load balancing the load in various areas of functionality among several servers. There are load balancers that are coming to picture. There are specific servers which do only the load balancing, and with the VMs that are coming to picture, the load is getting handled, and at the specific peak time they add new servers also into the system. The solutions have the following characters and more. Failure and recovery management. What happens if some specific eventuality happened, say earthquake, something happened at the data center, how my enterprise is going to run? That particular thing started coming to picture. People started wondering what I will do for in case of failure and how I'm going to recover the data. Therefore, in order for a business to properly choose a suite of enterprise solutions, a proper requirements definition must be completed. So here, the requirement definition became important. People started writing pages of documents to find out and define what exactly they require, and based on that the people started wondering how people started responding that how they are going to meet this particular thing, particular requirement, how, what are the technologies they are going to use, how much is going to be the customization that is out of the entire requirement, how much is going to be customization, how much is going to be the product delivered. These started, people were writing this particular thing and giving as a solution back, BRD, business requirement development document, and then solutions document that started coming into picture. All desired features along with the priorities for each feature must be assigned in order to make a suitable decision. So before taking a decision on which software I'm going to use, we have to find out what is going to be desired requirement, desired future, what is my priority, which is very important. You cannot have an immediate requirement as very delayed delivery. So priorities became important. For each feature, what is going to be delivered, that became important. MVP, minimum viable product. What is going to be my immediate requirement? At what level I will be in a position to go live with a solution? That things came into picture, and that things were important today also to ensure the and your decision for proceeding further with the specific enterprise document, enterprise software has to be based on these particular features that are required. Together with enterprise solutions is enterprise information architecture, a well-defined practice for conducting enterprise analysis, design, planning, and implementation using a holistic approach at all times for the successful development and execution of strategy. So strategy of a solution is important, and all these things has to be considered in the project management software tool which you are having. Enterprise architecture applies architectural principles and practices to guide organizations through the business information process and technology changes necessary to execute their strategies. So the strategy has to be defined and decided and executed based on the strategy which has been defined. The MIT Center for Information Systems Research. So let us define how they had the MIT has defined what exactly is the enterprise systems research about. MIT CISR defined enterprise architecture as a specific aspects of a business that are under examination. So here what will be the MIT CISR defined that architectures, enterprise architecture considers specific aspects of a business, and this is what is going to be progressed today, this is what is going to be examined today for your new requirement. Enterprise architecture is an organizing logic for business process and IT infrastructure reflecting the integration and standardization requirements of the company's operating model. So based on the company's operating model and future requirement, this enterprise architecture is going to be defined. The enterprise, the operating model is a desired state of business process integration and business process standardization for delivering goods and services to customers. So operating model is defined. This is the this is going to be the desired state which organization looking for, which is going to be based on the vision and mission of the organization. So Gartner is defining enterprise architecture as Gartner, a leading IT analysis firm, defines the term as a discipline where an enterprise is led through change. So Gartner is defining enterprise architecture as a discipline where enterprise is led through change. Also, whatever changes are happening in the system, in the enterprise should be taken care. So that is a definition from Gartner. According to their glossary, enterprise architecture is a discipline for proactively and holistically leading enterprise responses to disruptive forces by identifying and analyzing the execution of change towards desired business vision and outcomes. So like we define business vision and mission should be considered into mind, and what is the growth that should be taken into consideration before depending on the enterprise architecture. Enterprise architecture is a discipline that has to be taken all these things into consideration. EA delivers value by presenting business and IT leaders with a signature ready recommendations for adjusting policies and projects to achieve target business outcomes that capitalize on relevant business disruptions. So business, there could be multiple business disruptions that are coming into picture in your day-to-day basis for your business today. Enterprise architecture should consider all these particular things like kind of planning a disaster recovery, planning a data center, and planning it in a different location so that your disaster recovery is taken care, which ensure that security is taken care on top of all these particular things. Because without the security, doesn't mean that without the security, what will happen is that unwanted things will happen and your customers may lose money because of this particular thing and data will be lost. EA is used to steer decision making towards the evolution of the future state architecture. So what is going to be future state architecture? It has to be considered in EA, and you should be flexible to ensure that you are making the changes into the architecture and the hardware or networking layer of your enterprise. So there are three key aspects to enterprise solutions. First is enterprise IT architecting, enterprise integration, enterprise ecological adaptation. The purpose of enterprise IT architecting is a greater alignment between IT and business concerns. So when IT may be having some specific dependencies or specific requirements or specific limitations and business maybe have requiring something which is bigger than what exactly IT can deliver. So this should be aligned between IT and business concerns. So architecture should happen that way to guide the principle, the process of planning and design the IT IS capabilities of an enterprise in order to meet desired organization objectives. So organization objective is important, is has to be considered, and IT and IS security in information security and information technology should be working hand in hand, and planning should be happening accordingly and decision should happen properly. Enterprise integration EI is the primary tool to achieve greater coherency between the various functions of an enterprise, maybe core banking, financial accounting, customer relationship management, human resources and information technology. All these particular things has to be considered in the enterprise thing, and how all these are integrated is has to be considered, how it is going to be implemented in the software has to be considered, and including the linking between strategy formulation and execution. So the strategy has to be defined, what exactly is going to be the 5-year strategy, 2-year strategy, 1-year strategy, and accordingly it has to be executed. Next comes enterprise ecological adaptation. This is primarily fostering and maintaining the learning capabilities of enterprise so that they are sustainable over enterprise life cycle. So always in when you are going to talk about any enterprise, there should be a learning capability, there should be improvement. This enterprise has to be progressing. This ecological adaptation, how you are progressing, is coming under enterprise ecological adaptation. This is to improve its capabilities to innovate and co-evolve in its with its environment. So like if you are not progressing as per what the other your competitors are progressing, then you will be in a position, definitely you will be in a position to fail. So to avoid this particular thing, we should be co-evolving with this environment, and we have to progress ahead of the competition. Enterprise solutions cover the entire business functions of an enterprise. They are a suite of application softwares integrated through middleware and workflow systems. So like we are defining, there will be workflows will be there to ensure that seamless progress happens with the multiple systems, and middleware will be there to ensure that you are integrating with multiple systems. Further, in this subsection, we will attempt to briefly identify and describe these multiple softwares or package applications and the functions they map into so as to provide the bird's eye view of an enterprise solution. So let us find out in this subsection, we'll try to find out what exactly are the package applications, how you are going to integrate multiple softwares, and how it becomes an enterprise solution from your bird's eye view. This will set the trend for the subsequent chapters where each of these functions and softwares available and how the integrated will be dealt with. The core of any enterprise solution is an ERP, or better stated as a core business function software. So like we defined earlier, ERP ensures that the core business of the enterprise is taken into consideration, be it a bank, be it a wholesale business, or be it a retail business. So the core business function software would be a manufacturing ERP, okay, which will be I think about Oracle manufacturing or SAP or R3 or some other vendor who will be supplying manufacturing software. The core business of this particular thing is to ensure that the following manufacturing functions are taken into consideration: bill of material, material planning, shop floor control, and each and every machine, how it is going to be managed, and inventory management, how much is going to be the raw material that is you are having, how much is going to be your requirement for delivery from this particular manufacturing, and scheduling each machine, how we are going to schedule. And there are today in the industry, in the technology, you have multiple things which automatically control the machine from doing this. So example, there's spinning mill. They control and they ensure that the system, the specific machine works based on what exactly is required to be happening and how much is going to be spindle that is going to be rolling out. That things are controlled by the system itself. ERP controls this particular part also based on the sensors in the today. The example below add more clarity. For a bank, it would be a core banking software package which we had discussed earlier. It may be a Financial, it may be a FlexCube, it may be Finastra, which would have the basic functions of KIF, which is customer information file, loans and deposits. Or this core banking software provides for minimal functions of credit and debit cards, corporate lending, multiple channel banking, etc. But this due to the complexity of the banking business, this may not be enough for the core banking to execute. So there are multiple softwares that supports a particular thing, be it an ATM control software that could be different, and NPCI, that will be a different software, and there will be multiple middlewares that will be have that will be supporting the entire core banking solution today. One more example which you can have is that for insurance company, it could be a core insurance product, life or general insurance, or could be both. Is the life insurance company deals with both types of businesses. So if you are going to have both the things are getting covered up, so you'll have a single solution will be happening or multiple solutions that will be there. The products are segregated based on life or general insurance and the policy administration software and claims processing. So each may be having a different software in your hand, and all these are integrated in a single solution, which is totally called as an ERP. Retailer chain such as Star Bazaar or Big Bazaar would have a retail ERP, or you may be having DMart will be having a retail ERP that runs its core business. So there could be ancillary systems that are running in the back end, which will be integrated here again. So there is nothing like a single ERP today that fits all business or even the complete core functions of a one time of industry. Example, supply chain finance management that is in a bank that requires a different software which considers the supply and finance supply of the their customers, of the retail customers who are going to have, and they may be having a plan which will be giving some discounts for the people who are purchasing from their customers. Further, softwares that support other business functions, document management, supply chain, CRM, or independent software products built around this core business function software and integrated. So each and every solution will be having a different business function. See, in a bank, let us say, document management, which will be banks or have huge documents are there. So these documents, how you are going to read with AI and ML and NLP, people are able to read the document, extract the data and show in the screen and proceed further. And this document is getting stored in the backend. Workflow is integrated with all these particular things, and a system is in a position to take an intelligence by robotics, finds what exactly is the system person taking a decision, and machine is learning continuously to find out how the user is taking a decision, and next time it suggests based on this particular decision, it says that this is what you are going to take a decision.